The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast, the final racing podcast of 2014. I'm Alex Dunn. I'll be joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the racing at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. We're going to look at four races, a typically high-quality card from Cheltenham, and some good action at Presby Park to look forward to. So we're previewing four races in just a moment, but first things first, hello and a Happy New Year to Mick Norton.
Yes, thank you very much, Alex, and the same to you and same to all of our listeners. Hope you have a happy and prosperous 2015.
Absolutely. And hopefully a happy and prosperous New Year's Day, because, as I said, a typically competitive Cheltenham card. You've got a nice mix of quality and competitiveness, I suppose. You get those handicaps where you can give chances to so many, but they are brilliant to watch, aren't they?
Yeah, and touch wood, Cheltenham are making the right noises about beating the weather.
Yeah, got a quote here from Cheltenham Racecourse's Twitter sent earlier in the day. We're expecting warmer weather tonight into tomorrow. The ground is currently good to soft.
And they have got the covers down, apparently, haven't they?
Yeah, we're confident we will race tomorrow as the weather warms up. So all the right noises about Cheltenham. Does appear that we'll have a little bit of a thaw overnight tonight, so that's always a good thing, because I remember this meeting, was it last year, was I think they left it very late before saying it was on, so
yes.
Good to know, and keep an eye out anyway, and the same applies for all of the meetings tomorrow.
Yes.
Catterick, Cheltenham, Exeter, Fakenham, Musselburgh and Southall domestically. You'd imagine could all be susceptible, potentially, so.
Yeah, Catterick especially, because we've had some quite severe frost. Another one last night. Catterick might be touch and go. Could do with a mild night, really.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, fingers crossed. Okay, we'll move on to Cheltenham then. 12:45 is the first race that we're going to look at. It's a handicap chase over the extended 3 mile and 2 furlong trip. I know I've said that the going is good to soft, Mick, but this will still take a fair bit of getting, you'd imagine. You know, all your old favourites out here, horses that know Cheltenham like the back of their hand. And in these kind of races, it generally, you know, the winners sort of take turns, don't they? You don't often get the same horse confirming form, if you like, on the last run, and that can make it pretty difficult.
It certainly can. And I think, as you touched on the ground, the fact that the covers have been down, I always think it makes the ground ride that little bit more dead.
Doesn't
get
it's not wet, out. Is it? No. It's claggy and sticky.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's a typically competitive 3 1/4 mile chase. 13 runners declared to go to post. I suppose a good starting point would be Caddo George, who absolutely bolted up at Force last time. He beat Knock and Rawley into second, and Knock and Rawley came out and franked the form with a convincing will win himself next time. Did go up £12 for that Force last win, which is a bit of a body blow, but he's only six, and this will only be his third start over fences, so he could have plenty more improvement left in the tank, Caddo George. I'm going to take a chance, though, with Alfie Spinner. He's yet to win a handicap over fences, but he's got plenty of good placed efforts off of this mark or higher.
Mm-hmm.
Darrell Jacobs taking the ride for the in-form Nick Williams. And I think what's convinced me to go with Alfie is that he's produced good efforts on all three starts over fences here, including at last year's festival. There's an excellent fifth in the 4 mile National Hunt Chase, and good runs on the others as well. I think his turn is near, and with a stable in red hot form, I'm going to go with Alfie Spinner. Another worthy of mention is Saint R from the informed Tom George stable. He's wearing the cheap pieces to add to his tongue tie. Pieces are going on for the first time. He should improve, a short improvement, I should say, for his seasonal reappearance, going very close in the Beach Chase at Aintree, finishing a close third. But for whatever reason, he's yet to shine here at Cheltenham.
Well, he is typically an Aintree horse, isn't he? I remember
when
he was with Tim Vaughan, he'd always target the Grand National meeting, whether obviously he did run in the National, didn't he?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, 2013. But on the same cards the year before, he won the John Smith handicap chase, the Lister chase. So does like Aintree, and as such is either badly handicapped for Cheltenham or just doesn't go quite as well there.
Absolutely.
But now with Tom George, and as you said, ran well last time. So
exactly, can't leave him out of calculation.
No.
I mean, there's other Cheltenham specialists like Charingworth who never runs a bad race here, but I just think the handicapper might have got him where he wants him now. And Theatrical Star, who won last time out 3 weeks ago, he's just creeping up the handicap as well, but you can't leave him out.
And of course, you've got the two Nichols ones at the top.
Absolutely.
Potentially a little bit out of form, and and at the top of the handicap for a reason, but they've
both got to put disappointing efforts behind them, but quite capable of doing so. It's a very good, should be a good betting heat, should be 5-6 to one the field.
What we're going to go with?
Alfie Spinner.
Okay, Alfie Spinner, the pick in the 12:45. Next up is the 1:20. It is the Dipper Novices Chase, a Grade 2 contest.
Over
2 miles and 5 furlongs. It really is a humdinger. I mean, you could give a chance to quite a few here. You've got, obviously, Petty Zig would be a logical starting point, a horse that we know all about and appears to jump for fun. Champagne West, who is very classy himself. Ned Stark, who I saw in the flesh at Huntingdon, is a horse I really, really like. Is improving, would have to improve very much to win this, but there's no reason why he couldn't do that, I must
say.
And then you've got Urban Hymn, who we know in the north is very well regarded, and Clondalk Empfer, who would have owned last time at Doncaster, but for Brian Harding suffering a bit of a mishap after the last, you can give a chance to most of these.
Yeah, I do think the top two, though, are the two to concentrate on, both defending unbeaten records over fences. Champagne West's, both of those wins have come here at Cheltenham, which is a big plus in his favour. Probably his technique needs to improve, and I think it's worth bearing in mind, Alex, that when he won the first of those here, it was the day when they basically turned it into a flat race, didn't they? They missed a whole host of fences out, and for that reason, I'm going to go with Petty Zig, who was a high-class hurdler, and he's already as good over fences, unbeaten in three, very good at Ascot last time, and he does look to have an exemplary technique.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty more to come from him, and he's going to get the vote. But as you say, there are plenty of other decent novices here, but I do think those two do dominate.
I think it's a fantastic novices race. It's just almost a shame for the others, because if you took the top two out of this, you'd still be left with a fantastic 5-1 contest.
You would, and it would still take some sorting out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I will just mention Ned Stark, definitely one to keep on the right side of. I think, to be honest, might be suited, as we've seen in the last two runs, by a flatter track. I'm not sure Cheltenham will necessarily play to his strengths, but one to follow, a lovely big horse and still relatively unexposed. So
a cracking race to look forward
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Petty Zigger, a confident selection there for Miss then. In the Dipper, the 1:20. Next up is the 1:55. It is a handicap chase, a Grade 3 contest. 2 miles, 5 furlongs the trip. 13 runners down to go at the post. In this one, maybe you could rule out a few more than you could in other races,
I think you're probably right. Yeah, there's one or two are sort of in the doldrums, aren't they? I mean, Hunt Ball hasn't quite got his sparkle back yet. Champion Court seems to have lost the plot. And Eric, he seems to be struggling at the moment as well. But you've got the conundrum that is Cade de Burleigh, who ran so disappointing last time after a scintillating performance in the Paddy Power. Now, did it just come too soon? Was there something ailing him? I mean, he's quickly out again 19 days after that disappointing run last time. But could you back him on the back of that disappointing run last time?
Probably not, unless he is a really attractive price, which obviously we haven't priced the race up yet, but it would appear that he's going to be somewhere near favouritism, around 5 or 6 to 1. I wouldn't really. I think if you're going to back him, I'd go win only. I think he seems to be a bit all or nothing at the minute. So But no, I'd agree. It was disappointing last time. But you could say the same about quite a few. You've got some smart enough types. We've already touched on Huntball. We've got Rolling Aces up at the top, who's got one heck of a weight to lump around here.
Sean Bowen's five will help. But as you say, it's still quite a burden, isn't it?
You've got Splash of Ginge, who was really good over hurdles. And
he was still going well, you know, when he crashed out four out in the, what was it called? It's what it used to be, the old Massey Ferguson. It's got a new name now. It's the race that Kate de Burley disappointed.
The Caspian Caviar Gold Cup.
That's the one. Mm. It was on the tip of my tongue. And that was the race Kate de Burley disappointed in, isn't it? And Splash of Ginge was still going as well. I know it's a long way from home on that particular course, four out, but he was travelling.
And we know he stays for fun, which can only help it in these conditions. But you look below him, again, there's more that you can rule out, in inverted commas, horses that either just don't quite have, I don't think, the class to win this, or are just so badly out of form that they'd need a miracle. I suppose one that you could give a chance to almost by default is Donald McCain's Diocles.
Now, that was a really good staying performance at Kelso last time, when he beat Pinerolo. Trouble is, he's gone up £12 as a result of that, and he is coming back in trip. So he'll want them to go a really good gallop, Diocles. But there was absolutely nothing wrong with that performance last time. When most of the stables horses were running like drains, he put up a really good performance, Diocles, and I would not rule him out. He's on my shortlist. But I'm going to give the vote to Tenor Nivenay, who defied an absence of 622 days to win at Ascot last time. And because he only scraped home in a driving finish, he only went up £3 in the handicap. And I suppose the dreaded bounce factor has got to come into consideration.
It's a handy racing weight, though.
But Venetia usually has them fit for their debut, so that bounce factor does not affect them so much if they are fully racing fit first time up.
Yep.
And as you say, 10-6, most of it, that 10-6, A.D. Coleman, I think Tenor Nivenay looks the one to be with.
Okay, fair enough. And as we've said, there is a little bit, maybe not of deadwood in the race, but horses that you can see struggling. And you've got 13 runners, but in effect, I think this is sort of a 6 or 7 horse race where you're getting three places. So definitely each way of value to be had.
Yeah.
The 2:30 is the final race that we're going to look at coming up from Prestbury Park. It is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles. Class 2 event, 10 runners going to post and some nice types in here, Mick.
Very much so.
Two that immediately spring to my mind as really nice horses. Ulzana's Raid, who's got a huge weight to carry, but is rapidly progressing. And Southfield Vic, who's shown a lot of potential and finally got his head in front last time.
Yeah. We'll start with Ulzana's because it's 2 from 2 over course and distance, which is going to be a big help to him, isn't it? He's going to need all the help he can get with that big weight. I went up £4 for that battling win here last time over Big Easy. Now, that was a good performance, wasn't it? To get the better of Big Easy. It still leaves him fairly treated, you know, and this is a similar level of contest to the last day. So I'm not ruling out Alzana's Raid, despite him having to concede weight to the field. Knight of Noir, he went up £5 for getting beaten by Morita de Burley last time. That was an improved effort, but I just wonder, is that £5 going to leave him vulnerable? He's now off 140, and he did get beaten off a £5 lower mark last time, which leads me on to Southfield Vic, who does look well handicapped, I think. He produced a racing post rating of 1.22. at Taunton last time, but he won by 13 lengths. So I don't think, if the rating post have got that rating correctly, his mark of 1.27 is going to be beyond him. And also the fact that Ulzana's Raid is compressing the handicap, he means he's only got 10 stone 6 on his back, and Ulzana's Raid's got to give him a stone and £6. I think that'll be beyond him. I think Southfield Vic's got a very well handicapped look about him.
I'd agree, but I would just urge caution with Southfield Vic because of the prices that he goes off.
I know, he's always well backed, isn't
he? Yeah, he's only ran 7 times. He's gone off 10-1, 11-4, 10-1, 3-1, 5-6, 4-5, and 2-5, and he's only won on his first and last starts at 10-1 on debut and 2-5 last time. So,
but they can't go that tight in a race like that.
No, but I would just be aware, it may be that you end up backing him at something like 5-2 when he should be 5-1.
Yeah, exactly.
So just be careful with that. But I'd agree. I think he's got outstanding claims in that one, and gets so much weight off Ulzana's Raid.
Exactly.
Very well handicapped indeed. Okay, can we just have your thoughts then on the Cheltenham card, Mick? Your four picks for New Year's Day
in the 12:45. taking the chance that Alfie Spinner can finally get his head in front. He's put up some really good performances in his three starts over fences at Cheltenham so far, and the stable are in red hot form of Nick Williams. In the 120, the what was known as the Dipper Novices Chase, it's a Grade 2 Champagne Western. Petit Zig both defend their unbeaten records over fences, so something's got to give. But I do think Petit Zig has an exemplary technique which will stand him in really good stead round there. In the very competitive Grade 3 handicap chase over 2 miles, 5 furlongs, Tenor Niverney defied a 622-day absence to win last time. As a result of his narrow margin win, he only went up in the handicap by £3. I think that still leaves him off a very fair mark. And in the 230, a very competitive 3 miles handicap hurdle, Southfield Vic looks too well handicapped to ignore. The slight proviso is a horse who often gets over bet, but in this instance, I really do think he's got outstanding claims.
Okay, great stuff, Mix. Thanks very much for your time, and best of luck with the new year.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it already.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.